The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from Isaiah chapter 25, beginning at the sixth verse. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, beat them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their cities. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads, and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into utter darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.' This is the gospel of the Lord." Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson that was just read. We've all been to many weddings over the years. Some of them are more memorable than others. I can guarantee everybody's been to a wedding, but have you ever received a wedding invitation from a president, a king, or perhaps just a congressman themselves? Well, I know I haven't. Although when we got married, I sent a wedding invitation to President Reagan and Pope John Paul II. Neither one of them had the courage to show up. I wouldn't even let the Pope officiate at it had he showed up. But I sent him an invitation, but they didn't bother to come and didn't send me anything back. But if we did receive an invitation from a king, a president, or perhaps a congressman, I'm willing to bet that all of us would find the time to go, including clearing our schedule to be able to do it. Jesus tells an interesting parable here. The son of the king is about to get married. Now, the king sends out invitation to his close friends, the people he cares and loves. No different than us today. I mean, how many times have you helped somebody prepare for a wedding and they go, let's just contact random people and send them invitations? No, you contact people you care about and that you possibly love as well. Now, the king does the same. He sends out invitations to those he loves. And he sends his servants out to hand deliver the invites. Some refuse to go. Some refuse to listen. They treat the servants with disdain. And it says they beat them shamefully and killed some of them. They were too busy to go. They refused to go. So what does the king do? He burns their cities. He destroys all that they hold dear, and then he destroys them. Then he says to his servants, now go to the highways and invite the poor, the crippled, the beggars, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, would you do that? Why would you do that? Because you don't know who you're going to get to come to the wedding if you just send out invitations to anybody and everybody. You might end up with somebody unsuitable, like the one that's in our parable today, the one that doesn't have the special wedding clothes. And I'll get into that, what that means in a little bit. Now, if a person cannot afford the wedding clothes, you had to wear special clothes, not just your best shirt and tie or dress for the ladies. You had to have a special wedding garment. And if you couldn't afford one, in this parable, the king himself would have provided it for you. Can you imagine going to a wedding today where the bride's parents have to provide the clothes for everybody to come to the wedding? Like, they're not expensive enough as it is. But this was the tradition at the time. Excuse me. It would have been considered disrespectful to come without the special wedding garment on. Jesus' parable is Israel's history. God invited the Jews first. The invitation was to believe in the coming Messiah and that the coming Messiah would forgive them of all their sins. The servants sent to the people to deliver the invites were the Old Testament prophets who continually called the people to repentance. God had brought the children of Israel up out of the land of Egypt and gave them the land of milk and honey, 10,000 square miles of luscious farmland and pastures. They were well cared for and they were protected. But some of the people refused to believe or repent and they turned their back on God. They worshiped idols and followed pagan customs. So they were destroyed, exiled, and their cities burned to the ground. Major prophets like Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Jeremiah warned the people. They thought they had it all made. They felt they didn't need God. And the religious leaders understood that Jesus was teaching this parable to refute what they had been doing and what they had been teaching, to the point where they wanted to get rid of Jesus. They saw him as a threat to their way of life. Jesus was bringing in thousands upon thousands of people to hear him teach, and they were not then following what the rabbis or the Pharisees had to say. And frankly put, they were jealous of his popularity. Excuse me. They didn't want Jesus to become the number one celebrity in the land. Their egos got in the way. But after destroying their cities that had happened in the Old Testament, God invited other people to come, the Gentiles, the good, the bad, and the ugly. If Israel didn't want the Christ, maybe the Gentiles would. Now, we sitting here today are not Jewish by birth, but we are part of God's holy people. It's the same invitation that was given to the Old Testament Jews as the invitation given to us. We are called to be a nation of faith, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. And he calls us to be the same as he called his people of the Old Testament. The invitation has not changed. The invitation includes the salvation of our souls and forgiveness of sins. Now notice in the parable, there's no mention of the bride herself, because the bride is the church. The son, of course, of the king is Jesus Christ. He prepared us to be his bride when he died on the cross. He cleansed us from our sins and clothed us with the robe of righteousness. So in the parable, who is this man who comes in without the proper wedding clothes? Doesn't he know the requirement to have the special wedding clothes? Or is he too afraid to approach the king and ask for the wedding clothes himself? The wedding clothes in this parable is what St. Paul describes as our robe of righteousness that Christ gives us. It covers our sins. It is salvation itself. The covering of forgiveness and grace are on account of faith. The problem is, we like to take off the robe of righteousness. Our sinful human nature wants to take it off and then think, well, I've got to do something to add to the salvation of what Christ has done. Yeah, faith in Christ, but I need to add something just to clinch it, to guarantee it. We fight the temptation, and we need to fight the temptation to try to do things to please God. God is pleased with us because of what Christ has done for us. We cannot impress God with our deeds. Faith is not about you and I. Faith is all about Christ himself. You can have everything right and do everything right, but that doesn't mean you're faithful. We can conduct our liturgy perfectly and have the entire order of service go perfectly. Imagine a service where I didn't flub at least one word. You don't understand. I've been trying for almost 25 years now to do that, and I still can't get through a service without flubbing a word. But even if I could, that wouldn't make me more faithful than anyone else. It's a bad question. What makes us faithful? The answer is nothing. We cannot do anything ourselves. Like the man at the wedding who was either too arrogant or too distracted to ask for the robe of righteousness, if we focus on the fact that I have to be righteous or faithful myself based on my works, then we'll be thrown out too like the man. When a king or a president or a congressman sends you a wedding invitation, that's faith. When you don't know why you were invited to the great banquet, that's faith. When you walk up, take the robe of righteousness that Christ offers, that's faith. Faith is driven by God, given by God, and nurtured by God. If we think that we can just walk up based on the fact that we're a good man or a good woman, dressed in your own clothes, in other words, not with the robe of Christ's righteousness over us, then there's no room for you at the banquet. We're all invited, no matter how evil we are, to dine at the banquet feast itself. So in other words, no matter what we have done in the past, or even if the past is pretty recently, Christ still loves us because he died for us. Show up, sins and all, and don't try to hide before God who you really are, because God knows who we are, but he will clothe us with the robe of righteousness and feed us to our heart's content and let you dance, sing, and rejoice in his presence. That's why we're here today. None of us deserve to be here. None of us deserve to receive the body and blood of Christ. None of us deserve to hear God say, "I forgive you of your sins." We come before God like dirty beggars holding out our hands to him, not based on what I've done or who I am, but based on what Christ has done for us. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ, until life everlasting. Amen.